Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio, doing great things always on Baltimore Positive 1570 AM WNST. Nestor, welcome in.
Hey, it's like old times here. Like sports is important again. And like, you know, I'm not talking as much about this and that and crab cakes and oysters. I got time for that. And I'm doing all of that, even some concerts and whatnot.
Nice.
But boy, the Orioles just, you know, don't play on Wednesday night, not playing on Thursday night, or, you know, or playing out in Cleveland on Thursday night, and trying to pick the sort of pieces up after Houston and getting ready for the weekend. This magic number gets stuck at 8, which is a Cal Ripken number. But for me, you know, the bullpen remains an issue for them, and setting their pitching. And it's wonderful they're going to win 100 games. I think they're going to win the division, get the bye. I think they'll be okay. They've played their last competitive team. They're going to see
Right.
Cleveland, Washington, Boston. They'll be home all next week. It'll be a nice little homecoming for them. Everybody's getting their playoff tickets. I've seen that all over social media the last 48 hours. Everybody's bragging about what they got. The pitching, right? And Tuesday night, Flaherty in the bullpen looks okay. Wednesday afternoon, Fuji out of the bullpen, ball one, ball six, ball seven, ball 10. Palmer's yelling, you got to get him out. Palmer's yelling on the air. You can't, we can't watch any, we can't see any more of this.
He's all in.
Well,
JP is
they
all
all
in.
are. Palmer's watched 40 years of this waiting for them to win
Yes, he
again.
has. He really has. He's been there.
Yeah, speaking of that, I got a big anniversary this weekend.
Tell me about it.
Well, this is true. On Saturday, it will be 50 years to the day when my dad took me to my first Colts game.
Oh, that's awesome.
50 years to the day. And Dennis, you know, I know this bothers you this week, and you know, we talked about it a little earlier in the week, and I talked to
Yep.
Bob Kravitz out in Indianapolis. But this is my belt buckle from 1977 from Sears Roebuck. My parents got me a belt. Burt Jones was at the helm. Roger Carr, the Sac Pack, Glenn Doughty, Lytle Mitchell, the whole deal, right? Tony Linhart, Ted Marchabrota. And so we played the Colts this week, and I got into this like with Todd Radom. Todd Radom is very famous brand designer for sports. So anytime we talk about laundry and pajamas and logos and branding, he's written books on all of this. He's a true historian. He came on. I brought all my jerseys out that I've been showing you the last couple of weeks, and we did a whole turn. And we've been planning this for weeks about jerseys, because we've been arguing about the Baltimore City Canucks and what looks good and what doesn't look good and all that. And like in the middle of it, I had to think about the day I fell in love with the Houston Oilers. It was 50 years ago, Saturday, September 23rd, 1973. I found the ticket stubs. I have my program that my father bought me that day that I still have to this day. And I actually went and put my hands on it today because I wanted to get the date right. September 23rd, 1973, the 50th anniversary of my first football game with
You
my father.
remember going there?
I remember everything about it.
That's
I
awesome.
remember where we sat. The story that I told Todd, and I'll tell you as well for your audience, but and this really had to do with the Oilers, and Dan Pastorini was on a couple weeks ago, and the Oiler colors are all like back now because the Titans are going to wear those jerseys this year. But my dad took me to the game that day, and Stan White sacked Joe Namath and separated his shoulder that day. And Stan White loves to tell me the story. But I saw Stan last year at the Cal Ripken basketball event that he has with Jay Wright and with Gary Williams. And Scott Van Pelt's involved, and that's a beautiful event down at the Marriott Waterfront. But around this time last year, basketball's just getting started, late September, late October. And I had just lost my press pass, and Chad Steele threw me out and all that. So Stan pulled me up, you know, big brothered me. And we got to talking a little bit, and I said to him, you know, about the Joe Namath thing. He's like, that's a legendary game, Ness. He said there were eight interceptions in that game.
Were
The
there really?
Colts threw eight, four in the first half for Marty Domras, and four in the second half for Burt Jones. Eight interceptions in that game 50 years ago
It's
Saturday. So
unreal.
Stan White tells me all these stories about it. I have the program. I actually took a picture of it. Stan sent me some pictures that he had literally in his archive of him sacking.
Oh,
The
okay.
picture of him sacking Joe Namath that day when he
Pictures from
separated
the
Joe.
game.
Now
Yeah,
the
very
Colts
good.
got killed. They lost 34-10 that day. Namath didn't play. The backup quarterback came in, the whole deal. But it was 50 years ago. And what I remember about my dad taking me out was we sat out in left center field. I had just lost my finger that summer, the summer before. So I was without a finger even then, that early in my life. I was 4 years old. I was almost five. And my dad, on the way out of the stadium, all I remember my dad that day was it was the first 2 weeks that Johnny Unitas was a Charger. So my dad was pissed at the Colts. I mean, there was Unitas wasn't there. The crowd was kind of pissed at the Colts, right? They were getting their ass kicked 34-10, interception, interception, interception. Burt Jones is drafted. The team stunk, right? Now, the next year, they caught fire. 2 years later, they caught fire. 75, they're really good, right? But it took them, you know, that ramp up of being not so good in 73 and 74 and drafting Randy Burke and, you know, all that era of Colts football. But, Mike, there was a bad crowd that day. They lost. They won the Super Bowl 2 years before. I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
How large was the crowd? 25, 30,000?
No. It was still a full. It was a full house.
Gotcha.
Oh, my God. Joe Namath was playing. No. I mean, people barely knew Ursay's name in 73.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but my dad was – this is when Ursay was getting drunk with Schnellenberger and Joe Thomas. Remember he went in and made Joe Thomas the coach for a – all sorts of – ish that remind very reminiscent of the Peter principles in regard to poor management, right? And leaving the stadium that day, my dad, you remember the men that used to push the supermarket carts that would have pennants and bobbleheads and hats and stuff, the peanuts, they sold stuff.
Vendors, anything you wanted.
Right out at where the bushes were and where the bricks were on 33rd Street, where the buses would let off. Mm-hmm. And we were coming out of the stadium that day, and I don't think we stayed to the end. I think, you know, they were losing by three times. My dad grabbed me. We were going out on the bus, right? Because I don't remember there being a lot of people when I was leaving. But I remember seeing the vendor. This is like my wife would say I'm like Mary Lou Henner. I do remember almost everything in my life. But my dad said, you want a pennant? And he wanted to get me the Chargers pennant because he was pissed at the Colts, right? And I think he said, we got a Colts pennant, which we did have a Colts pennant. He's like, get a Chargers pennant. That's where Johnny Unitas is. So my dad bought me two pennants that day. He bought me, and keep in mind now, he lost his son in a drowning 4 years before this, right? I mean, so like anything I wanted, I probably was going to get, right? I asked for it, whatever. The vendor said $5 is a $2 item. My dad might have paid it because my dad wanted to make me happy. You know what I mean? My dad loved me. I was 4 years old. I was being adopted in that process, and I went home that day with a San Diego Chargers pennant and a Houston Oilers pennant.
I
wanted the Oilers pennant, and that's all I wanted was the Oilers pennant because I love the colors, and I love the blue, and I love the Derek, and I thought it looked cool. And then when I watched them, they had a silver helmet and a baby blue helmet that they had worn in those years in 68 to 73. And I fell in love with the Houston Oilers, and they stunk. And I fell in love with Dan Pastorini, and they were no good. He had a fun name, sounded like Italian food. And then they got good. And they came to Baltimore in 76. I saw them play, and they were so terrible. Pastorini told me how terrible he was. That night. He's like, I was on Monday Night Football. We stunk. We were no good. But we got Earl Campbell after that. We stunk.
That's right.
They got Earl Campbell right after that.
To get Tyler Rose after that. It was worth it.
But it was 50 years ago that I fell in love with football. That my dad took me to see Joe Namath play. I saw Burt Jones play. I'm trying to think of other Hall of Famers that may have been on the field that day. I have the program. Like, I could grab the program I'll do that on Monday. After the Ravens beat the snot out of the Colts.
They better.
The Indianapolis Colts. I will story tell with you Monday. I'll get the program out, and we'll have a good time. I'll get the box score out.
What bugs me the most. What bugs me the most is Cleveland got to keep the Browns and their colors and their history. And Baltimore was not given the same consideration by the National Football League. We should have kept our records, our colors, everything.
Indianapolis also deserves
– what's that? Yeah.
Adams owns the Oilers, all of the markings, right?
But that's wrong, too.
Art owned the Brown stuff and kept it – and I wrote about this in Purple Rain 1 – kept it as a negotiating ploy, knowing he was going to have to give it back, knowing that that was going to be part of the divorce, is that he – because I asked Art the first question here. And the first question I asked was, are they going to be called the Browns?
Great question.
At the press conference.
No, great question.
He had a Browns logo. I'm like, are our fans going to call them the Baltimore Browns?
Yeah, no. I'm glad he did it that way.
He said, Yes. If you go back to the press conference, he said that because the lawyers were giving chase.
Right.
And
understood.
All along, Pat Moriarty, Kevin Byrne, all those people, you know, Bob Eller, they all told me all of that.
Well, I'm very grateful that that he did that, because I would hate for the Ravens to be called the Baltimore Browns.
I would, too. I would, too. And you know who agreed? And he and I are not in agreement on much lately.
Who's that?
Bisciotti. Steve Bisciotti. you read my letter.
I did.
To Steve. And in that letter, I referenced Steve Bisciotti grabbed me at the owners' meetings at the Biltmore. Billick was still the coach. So we're going back to 05. No, it was 06. It was 06 because Jimmy Irsay had just won the Super Bowl. And this is why Steve wanted to approach him. Steve wanted to approach him 8 weeks after he won the Super Bowl for the very purpose that you're talking about. This right here, that the owner of the Ravens, and this is a long time ago, it's 17 years ago, right, cared enough at that time. He had owned the team for 5 minutes. He finally owned the team in 04, 05, right? I mean, Art and David still owned the team in 2 and 3, and he was a part of it. He had just gotten the team, and he wanted me to go with him. He said, I want you to talk for Baltimore. This is what Steve said to me.
Boy, how far we come.
So he and I, he said, meet me at 1 o'clock after the meeting. We're going to go for a walk with Jim Irsay out on the veranda here, smoke a cigar, and we're going to talk about the Colts records. And I want you to tell him from the Baltimore perspective. And the way Steve explained it, and I'll have to write about this at length at some point in my memoirs, but the way Steve explained it in front of Jimmy was that if there's a divorce, you and your wife get divorced and your child gets married and you're remarried and she's remarried, who sits where in the pews in the church? Who sits on the left? Who sits on the right? Like, and that is how Steve kind of couched it with Jim that day. And Jim's a very touchy-feely guy and Jim will listen to you. Jim is always, every time I've been in a room with Jim, Jim has been very focused on feeling me. He's a kinesthetic kind of guy. You know what I mean? He's very aware of emotion. You know, he's not an emotionless guy. And Steve made me aware of this. He said, when you're with Jim, slow down a little bit. You know, we're asking him for something heavy, you know? So like, and I respected all of that. And, you know, I respected it so much. I never even talked about it. You know what I mean? Like it's a private thing, but Steve should be proud of him. I was proud of him. And I told him that. And I wrote about that. And I said, I can't believe that you chose me. I remember saying to my wife that day, if my father were alive, he'd die. My father knew I were on a veranda with two billionaires discussing how the first family, and Johnny Unitas, and how sickening that makes all of our fans to go to the Hall of Fame and see all that sitting under Indianapolis. That was Steve's beef then. It got taken from that meeting. Jimmy said, I didn't even tell you this. You know what Jim Irsay said? Jim Irsay said, I would do anything I could do to heal it, but I can't change history. I can't change what really happened. What really happened is the Mayflowers moved the franchise and the franchise name, and that's the way the Hall of Fame does it. Would it matter to him, to Jim, if they took all the Colts records and put it on the Ravens side as a, this happened in Baltimore? Jim was all for it. Jim was all for it. Steve was all for it. The Hall of Fame said, nah, that's not our standard here. That's not the way we present and portray the history of franchises. It's not the way we do it.
And that was
the official answer. So
very wrong.
I'm glad we're talking about this week. It's very, it's kind of timely with the Colts coming in, right?
Very apropos, shall we say.
Yeah,
we have a ball game to win Sunday.
Right?
We have a ball game to win.
And three or four baseball games to win between now and then. Eight that we need to get on the right side of in wins or losses in order to wrap this thing up. But Dennis, this is tight. You know, when Fuji comes out and starts throwing balls and they lose the game, and I'm still a true believer, but man, it really isn't over till it's over. They did their champagne the other day, but they don't want to be playing baseball in a 3-game series.
No, not
going
at all.
Toronto or, you know, they don't need to be doing that. That's not good mojo for where they're sitting right here, right now, with a week left to go in a season. they got to finish the deal, and then they got to rest up, and then they got to be ready to win game one.
Now, if they win the division, that's true. They've got to win two series before they get in the World Series. Am I correct in saying that?
All right, so I learned this. This is a first world problem, Dennis. Are you ready for this? I booked airline flights for Lucas and I. I didn't even know his middle name, Christopher. Make sure you refer to him. So I held some flights because there's possibilities here. We're going to go. So okay. The ALDS, so the wild card is the three game.
Right.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's the wild card, right? So we are the wild card if you don't win the division, right? So you're in that series. So if all things hold to where they are right now and they're the one seed, because they can't be the two seed because Houston, right. Texas, they can't catch them, right? So they're going to be the one seed. The two seed's going to come out of the West because Minnesota can't catch the West, right? So Minnesota's going to be the three seed. They're going to play the six in the wild card. Minnesota's going to have to play. The division winner's going to have to play the six seed. The six seed could be any of these teams at this point, including Seattle. I mean, Toronto, Texas, Tampa, they're all bunched together. So the six seed will play the three seed at Minnesota. And then the four and five will play each other, which as we were sitting here this week, it was Tampa and Toronto mainly. Right. Texas would be the team going to Minnesota, but that can change in a heartbeat. And Houston has not proclaimed the winner of the West yet either. So, I mean, it could be Texas, it could, whatever, right? But I learned this. The 6-3 winner has to go to two. Okay. So the 6-3 winner, we can't play them. And this was the ideology was this, and it doesn't hold true. Because if Tampa is the four seed, they're a four seed with 95 wins. They're the better team. They're the second best team that's a fourth seed. What they tried to do in the seeding, get your arms around this, is make sure that the one seed doesn't face a division winner in the ALDS. That the one seed gets the advantage of playing a wild card. It's not an advantage this time, right? It wouldn't be an advantage in any of those Yankee Red Sox years either, because they both would win 103 games and, you know, pinch each other out or whatever in the years when they were real powerhouses. So the Orioles can only play the 4-5. So the Orioles are going to be stuck if Tampa survives playing Tampa.
Okay.
Probably, right? Probably. They'll be the favorite. Tampa would be the favorite. Now, they could lose to Tampa or Toronto in a three-game series, or they wouldn't play Texas, probably, because the sixth seed's going to play the three. So they can't play Minnesota, they can't play Houston, and they can't play the sixth seed, whoever it is, in their round. They can only play the 4 or 5. Then they play, and then, you know, they would play the winner, which Houston would have an advantage if they hold on as the two seed. So, you know, I held the flight to Houston for the ALCS. All the dates are set. You know, the real controversy, Dennis, and I don't know how much you've read about this, is this Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert next week.
Ah, no, I haven't. No.
Okay, so October 7th is a Saturday night. Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are playing the football stadium. Nah. The Ravens are out of town that weekend, right? The weekend of the 8th, and then they're in Pittsburgh, and then they go to London, right? That night of the 7th, it's a 7 o'clock show. Stevie Nicks plays a full gig. Billy Joel, I mean, it's a long concert. It's $250 tickets. They've sold 50,000 tickets. There's a lot of people coming. The Orioles are slotted for game one of the ALC. If the Orioles win the division and hold on, that would be the day that game one of the ALDS happens. That they would play Tampa, Toronto, whoever it would be. And they have the parking lot issue.
Okay.
The Orioles hold all the cards. They are the grandfathered big daddy because they came first. They can throw Billy Joel out of the parking lot. They can hold the keys.
It's going to be interesting.
And you know how good the Orioles are, how excellent they've been to deal with in circumstances like this. I would say that, you know, play your Billy Joel albums, because I don't know that you're seeing Billy Joel in the 7th. And I think the Ravens have been so docile. And if I really were to get together with Steve over a beer, and I used to give Dick Cass a raft of manure about this privately. I talk to him all the time about how much you're going to take from them before one of you yells that they're not good people, they're not a good part. How many times are they going to send Keith Urban in here and throw you out to Denver 10 years ago after you win the – like – and it's not the Ravens' style to, like, say anything But I always said what's true, and I'm telling you, the Orioles win the division and they get the bye. This Billy Joel thing will become an issue, and Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are going to get thrown out, and the Ravens aren't going to say a word, and they're going to reschedule, and whatever insurance they may or may not have had, and whatever codicils that are in, because the language in the contract is about sporting events, so it's very nebulous in its terminology. You'll be hearing about this in the next two, because the Orioles are going to win the division. I believe that. I believe they're going to get the bye. I believe they're going to play a home game in the AL Division Series on Saturday, October 7th. So, as you say at the racetrack, hold all tickets.
Hey, great stuff as always, Nestor. I appreciate you. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the festivities. Enjoy the games. Hopefully the weather holds up and we don't get rained out.
As long as I don't see Fuji pitch anymore in a tight ball game, I'm good.
You got it. There he goes. Nestor Aparicio here, 1570 AM WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.